here's some pretty important questions. Who are you? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? What are you passionate about? What do you want to do with your life? What kind of person do you want to be, or are you? And what would you die for? Is there anything so important to you that you would rather die than have somebody take it away from you or force you to change your opinion, your conviction? And I ask those questions because we live in a world where it seems there are a lot of people who tell us what we can and can't do, whether it's the government or our family or our partner or our teachers or somebody from church or a coach. There's a lot of people who seem to love sharing their opinion about our life with us. Isn't that lovely that they care about us so much that they want to tell us what to do or tell us what we can't do? Is it possible that there are a lot of people who hear this from their family or their friends or their close circle of influence? You can't do that. You're not smart enough. You're too old. You're too young. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough experience. That's not going to work for you. You can't do it. And I always ask the question, if you really believe in something, you're passionate about something, you really want to do something with your life, why would you let somebody else steal that dream from you? Why would you let somebody take that away from you? Why would you allow your dream, the thing that you're passionate about, to not be in your life? and I ask that question very from my heart to yours, because as an educator and as a personal exercise coach and somebody that's lived on the planet for a really long time, it's really, and I'll say interesting to observe, but sometimes quite sad for me, because I have people who share with me very passionately and very sincerely that this is what they want to do with their life, or this is what they believe in, or this is what they stand for, or even this is what I would die for. These are my non-negotiable standards. And I often see that people allow somebody in their life or an experience or something comes along and negatively takes that dream away from them. So somebody says to them, you can't do it, and they believe it. Somebody says, you're not smart enough, and they believe it. Somebody says, you can't have that career or that business. It's never going to work for you. You're not good enough. And sadly, they believe it. If it's something that you would die for, and I always share this very personally, I live with a man, my gorgeous husband came in, who I know without any hesitation I could share with you that there are things that he would die for. And I'm using him as an example because as a exercise physiologist, a health scientist, and a published research scientist, he has that particular experience or that particular conundrum, what shall I do here, has come into his life quite often. And I use the example of he's been offered many times enormous amounts of money to promote a product or a service or some kind of thing that people would buy that he doesn't believe in. And the money has been a large amount, and he just says, no, that particular product or service doesn't make sense. It doesn't have any common sense attached to it. It's not scientific. It's not based on anatomy and physiology. And he's just said no. And I ask you that question very personally, because I can say that without hesitation. Doesn't matter how much money you offer came in to promote a dodgy product, he won't do it. But how and where do you stand on that? I have a lot of people share with me that they're really passionate about certain eating plans or exercise plans or parenting or religion or voting or something that's happening in the world right now. I would never do that. It's against my religion, or it's against my core beliefs, or it's against my values. And if you were offered a large amount of money to change your mind, would you? And I'm talking, what if it was millions or more? When it comes to what would you die for, I always go the step further, because I know that K-Man would rather die, and he would die, than promote a dodgy exercise program or eating plan. And we joke about it, but it's really nice to know that the person who that you love and care about has such strong convictions that they would rather die than negotiate them. And we always take that a little bit further, because the question was asked, well, what if a gun was held to K-Man's head and if you don't promote this particular exercise program, we're going to kill him. And he always says, well, just shoot me, because I'm not promoting that. This next step is, well, what if we hold a gun to Roey's head and we're going to kill her if you don't promote this product or service? And it's a really interesting response, and he didn't give it too much thought, and I'm really proud of the response, which was, you still better kill me, because the woman that I married wouldn't want to be married to somebody who would negotiate their standards for money or for their life. And she would not want to be married to me or wouldn't want to live with me if I had negotiated my core beliefs or my core values. So it's a, as I shared at the start, pretty important questions. What do you stand for? What do you believe in? What are your core values? What would you die for? And then the really important parts of life, I'd like to ask this question. What are you really passionate about? What do you want to do with your life, your career path, your business? It could be a sport. It could be a hobby. It could be travel. What is it that you really want to have, to be able to look back over your life and say, I did that. I achieved that. It's something that I'm really excited about or passionate about. And how would you feel if you are looking back over your life and you didn't do it because somebody told you that you couldn't, or you believed somebody's negativity, or you just didn't do it because you didn't believe in yourself? And of course, that's the really big question called self-esteem. So whether somebody else tells you that you can't do it, or you believe that you can't do it, so you have a personal belief that I can't do this because I'm not good enough, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. What do we do in that situation? How do we grow a self-esteem? How do we grow a set of large self-esteem genes so that if somebody says to us, you can't do it, it won't work, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too short, you're not smart enough, it's not going to work for you, we would never believe them because we have such strong self-belief. And of course, how do we make sure that if somebody is trying to pull us down, I'll rephrase the question, have you ever been pulled down, or have you ever changed your mind, or have you ever had your life influenced because you're scared of what other people will think? What if they say that about me, or what if they are nasty to me, or what if they gossip about me, or what if they don't like me, or and what if I don't fit in? And of course, that's all to do with self-esteem, yeah? We really love ourselves. We believe in ourselves. We respect ourselves so much that we would never negotiate our own personal standards. And if somebody tries to steal our standards, or tell us that we can't do it, we would never listen because our self-esteem is so strong. So there's the bazillion-dollar question, how do I get a strong self-esteem? And I'm very privileged that this particular system, strategy, process was shared with me a really long time ago. So of course, the first question is, and it's a simple three-step strategy, of course. The first thing is, who are you? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? What would you die for? What are your core values? What are you passionate about? And what do you want to do with your life? And of course, that then becomes your driving force. It becomes the reason, your purpose for living. This is what I was born to do. Some people share with me, I don't know yet. Well, my answer to that is always, well, go and do everything. Don't let anybody hold you back and say, well, you don't know what you're passionate about, so you'll just have to get stuck in some lousy, stinking, rotten job. My question is always, why? Go and do everything. Go and experience life and find out what it is that you're passionate about. We always use that expression here at Max. There's two epic moments in your life. The first one is the day you were born, of course, because that's, you were put on the planet that day. And the next most epic moment is the day that you find out why you were born. And if you have an epic moment, and I share very personally, I'm so privileged that happened for me when I was 13. It was, I'm going to be an exercise professional. I want to exercise and teach other people to exercise. And I want to do that for the rest of my life because I've never felt so amazing, and I want everybody else to feel as amazing as I do when I exercise. So there's my question. Who are you? What do you stand for? What are your core values? What would you die for? What are you passionate about? What do you want to do with your life? And the first question, which is who are you, is that question that I always ask. At least pick 3 to 5 words. Really give it some thought, some deep thought and some analyzation and some put your head through the process of who do I want to be known as? What do I want my reputation to be? When I look in my mirror, who do I want to be? When I go to sleep at night, who do I want to be proud of that I've been during the day? So 3 to 5 words to describe you as a person. And then if you've got the time, and I would hope that something as important as your core values and your your passion and the career path that you want to have and all the things that you want to do with your life, that they would become a priority to invest time in doing. One of the things we do here at Max is we ask our students to produce a vision board. You actually can't become a qualified business professional or an exercise professional if you don't have a vision board. And sometimes people ask me, why? What's that got to do with being an exercise professional? And my answer is always the same. The brain thinks in pictures, and if you have created the pictures for what you want your life to look like, is it possible that your brain is more likely to help you achieve that? And when you understand how the brain chemistry works, we literally think in pictures. And if we can create a picture, then we're certainly more likely to go out and achieve it. And I use the example, it's a simple one, and you've probably heard it before. But if you've never noticed a certain kind of car, it's never been of interest to you, but then you either buy that car or you rent that car. And it's happened to me many, many times where I've been given a rental car of a certain color and a certain brand, and it's not a car that I would ever buy, but when I'm driving that car, I see hundreds of them. It's like, oh my God, I didn't realize that there were so many of these cars. I'd never even thought of them before. But because my brain is now focused on that particular car and that particular make and model and color, I see it everywhere. Well, that's because the brain focuses on what we tell it to. So if you tell your brain to focus on, this is my life, this is what I want it to look like, these are the pictures I've created of my passion, my sport, the way I want to look, the house I want to live in, the places I want to travel to, the people that I want to meet, the achievements that I want to make happen, is it possible that your brain is more likely to achieve them for you because it can actually see them because it thinks in pictures? So there's a really great question. Have you created your life? Who are you? And then why on earth would you want or allow somebody to steal that from you? So the system to having a strong self-esteem is working out who you are and being that person. What happens at step number two, of course, is that people will try and stop you, pull you down, be negative, tell you that it can't happen. And the question is, what is your strategy for that? If you have decided, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, this is what I believe in, this is what I'm passionate about, this is what my life is going to be like, these are the things that I'm going to do and these are the things that I'm going to achieve, is it possible that there will always be somebody who tries to steal that dream from you? And I use celebrities and famous people and sporting stars and business people. Every single one of them will tell you that they might have a million followers on social media or 10 million followers on social media, and they will happily share with you that half of the people in the world or more hate them. They get death threats. They get hate mail. They have haters because whatever you're doing that's of value, or whatever you're doing that's making you stand out from the crowd, there'll always be people who try and pull you down, who don't want you to do that. And it might be as simple as this. If somebody's told you, and it might be your family, your partner, your friends, your close circle of influence, if somebody's told you that you can't do something, it's not possible for you because you're not smart enough, or you're too tall or too short or too fat or too skinny, and then you go and do it, is it possible that perhaps they won't be angry with you? They're going to be angry that you prove them wrong. They're angry with themselves because you proved them wrong. Perhaps they wanted to do those things and they haven't, and you've now proved that it's possible. And they're going to be angry. And some of those people don't know how to handle that anger, so they become nasty or gossiping or criticizing, or they're just not very nice to you. So the first question is, the strategy for a strong self-esteem is, who am I? What do I stand for? What are my core values? What am I passionate about? What am I going to do with my life? And then just be that person. Decide, this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do with my life, and then go and do it. Number two is that there are always going to be people that pull you down, and isn't that exciting? If you're not climbing high enough, you'll have nobody pulling you down. And of course, if you climb high, there will always be people who pull you down. So what is your strategy to deal with that? Are you ready for it? It's one of the questions I always ask my students who share with me they're scared of failing. My question is always, perhaps rather than being scared of failing, because we've all failed at stuff, we've all given up on stuff, we've all had stuff happen in our life that hasn't worked out very well for us, and none of us have died. We've survived it. It might have had an effect on our self-esteem, but we've all failed at some stage. What you might not have done is succeeded, or if you have succeeded, you might have experienced a little bit of that nastiness, negativity, and horrible human nature that comes out when people achieve. So if you are scared of failing, perhaps rethink that and ask yourself, is it actually that I'm scared of succeeding? Because if I succeed, there'll be people who don't like me. There'll be people who are nasty to me. There'll be people who criticize me and pull me down. And I think it's I think it's exciting, and I'm not expecting you to think the same way I do, of course, but I'll reshare that beautiful quote. The higher you climb, the more people will pull you down. And if you have nobody pulling you down, you're not climbing high enough. So it's almost like a tick box compliment when people are pulling you down, because whatever you do with your life that's important, there will be somebody that pulls you down. So number one is, who are you? Number two, what is your strategy for the people that try and stop you? And of course, number three is, what are you going to do if you try and stop yourself? Self-sabotage, the experts will call it. If you believe that when somebody says to you, you can't do it, if you believe that you're too tall or too short, if you believe you don't have enough experience, if you actually take that on board, and that will sabotage your success, of course. And it's got nothing to do with the people that are pulling you down. There's that great question. Did they pull you down, or did you allow them to? Were they nasty to you, or did you allow that nastiness to get into your headspace? Is it terrible that they were gossiping about you and criticizing you? Yes, of course. But do you have to believe the gossip? Do you have to believe or take on the criticism? And of course, the answer is no. So the third part of the strategy to having a great self-esteem is, how are you going to stop? How are you going to avoid? How are you going to make sure that regardless of the criticism, it doesn't become a challenge for you? And it's a very simple answer that I would love to share. And I'll use a really simple example. I was on the Young Rich list in Australia, one of the richest people in Australia under the age of 40. And I'm sharing that with you because I didn't finish high school. I've got blonde hair. I'm a woman. I've been told in every way, shape or form that I would never be able to be successful for all of those reasons. You ran away from home. You didn't get a tertiary education. You've got blonde hair. You're a woman. You came from a suburb, because technically when I ran away from home, I ran from Melbourne to a suburb in Sydney, Australia called Campbelltown, which is a very low socioeconomic area. And a lot of people said to me, you can't be successful because you're from Campbelltown. So I had a lot of you can't do it, it won't work for you, it can't happen going on in my life. And I'm sharing that with you because when I was asked, how did you get onto the Young Rich list with all those things going against you? And the really interesting one was, you can't be successful because you didn't choose a career path where people usually make a lot of money. You're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, you're not an engineer, you're not an accountant, you're not a bank manager, you're an exercise professional. How the hell did you get onto the list of one of the richest people in Australia under the age of 40? And there's three parts to that, and I'll just very quickly share them with you because perhaps they will be helpful for you. Number one is, of course, you've got to do what you're passionate about. And as I shared with you, my epic moment in my life, I decided at 13 years of age that I was going to be an exercise professional, and I've never done anything else. So I can't fail because I would never give up on that. Remember that if the definition of failure is to give up on what you're passionate about, or just to give up, if you don't give up, you can't fail. And I would never give up on my career path because I love it. So number one is, do what you're passionate about. Number two is to aim to be the best in the world at it. And of course, I had a lot to prove to myself and to other people, because I had a family and a social group and a church group and a lot of peer pressure that I needed to become a lawyer, not an exercise professional. So I had to prove to myself and to all of them, if I had been average or ordinary or just did enough to get by as an exercise professional, obviously I would have been a disappointment to myself, most importantly, but also a major disappointment to the other people in my life. So it was a driving force for me to want to be the best at what I do, a personal internal driving force. So when asked, Rowie, how did you get onto the BRW Young Rich list as one of the youngest people or richest people in Australia under the age of 40, my response is very simple. I've always done something I'm really passionate about. I've always wanted to be really good at it. But the third part for me is the most important thing, is, what am I doing that adds value to other people's lives? It's really nice to do what you love and to do what's important to you. But ultimately, what are you doing to add value to other people's lives? Because that's the part about your career path or your business being successful. It's living in that sweet spot. Do what you're passionate about. Be the best in the world at it and add massive value to people's lives. And if you do that, your business can't fail. It just can't. Your career can't fail. And I think that's exciting. How about you? So I was asked, Rowie, how did that work out for you? And I said, well, these are the things that I've done. But most importantly, you can't do any of those if you're not healthy and fit and strong and if you don't have a positive attitude. And I used to believe that a positive attitude came from me deciding to have one. Since my study of neuroscience and how the brain works, it's even more exciting than that. If you are fit and strong and if you're constantly changing your brain chemistry, which happens from getting puff lifting heavy, overloading all the systems in your body. So if you overload your central nervous system, your endocrine hormonal system, your skeletal and muscular system, your cardiovascular respiratory system, even your immune system, then it gets stronger. All of them get stronger. And I'll just quickly use the immune system as an example. If you don't ever get exposed to germs, if you don't ever get exposed to dirt, then how would your immune system get strong? If you want to get a strong immune system, yes, you've got to be healthy, fit and strong, but you've actually got to expose your body to germs, bugs and viruses so that it can fight against them to get stronger. If you want your muscles and bones to get stronger, you have to overload them. So you have to lift heavy things, you have to get puffed, you have to force your body to get stronger. And I get really excited about all of that, of course. But what that does when you lift heavy, punch hard, get puffed, overload your body, do intense activity, you now change your brain chemistry. The neurotransmitters that your body is now flushed with. Dopamine is a reward drug. Serotonin is a satisfaction drug. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor, the really exciting one, is a fertilizer for your brain. And if you are fertilizing your brain constantly, is it possible that your brain cells will grow, the connections will get better, you'll have neuroplasticity, which is your ability to think better. And I'll use a quick example. If I sprint and I go a little bit harder than I thought I could, or I go a little bit longer than I thought I could, or if I lift a little bit heavier than I thought I could, I now have neuroplasticity. My brain now knows, I've filled it up with brain-derived neurotrophic factor, but my brain knows that thought pattern that I had before is not true. I thought I could only sprint for that long, or I thought I could only lift for that heavy, but I could do more. So now I have a stronger brain that believes in me. I'll say that again. I start believing in myself because I've pushed my own brain, I've pushed my own body to force my brain to think better of myself. So this thing about having a positive attitude, where I used to think, well, I have to force myself to have a positive attitude, I have to think positively, it's the other way around. If you puff hard and if you lift heavy, your brain chemistry changes so that you can think differently, think more clearly, think more creatively, make better decisions. And most importantly, your brain itself will grow, new brain cells, it'll change, neuroplasticity, and you now have a different mood, you have a different headspace, which means now you think differently about yourself. Your self-esteem changes. I did something that I didn't think I could do. And if I did that physically, could I do it mentally? So now I'm getting fitter and stronger physically. My brain chemistry is changing. Is it possible now that my headspace or my feelings about myself will change? My self-confidence goes up, my self-esteem goes up. So there's the strategy. Who are you? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? What are you passionate about? What do you want to do with your life? Number one. And why would you sacrifice or negotiate or change any of those to suit anybody else? But number two, should we be aware that people will aim to pull us down, criticize us, be negative about any of the things that we want to do? There's always going to be haters. Yes, of course. And then number three, what are you going to do to make sure that that doesn't happen to you? What are you going to do? What's your strategy to make sure that when people try and pull you down, what are you going to say to them? What are you going to do? And my answer to that is, of course, is get really fit, get really strong, because then you'll have a strong self-esteem, you'll have a brain that's constantly coming up with new ideas, you'll feel really good about yourself, and you will know that you can get the hell out of that bad situation, you can overcome a challenge, you can make better decisions because you've got a brain that's capable of doing all of those things. And I'm not sure of your definition of self-esteem, but could that be self-esteem? I did hear a great definition, which I've used often about self-esteem, is it's the engine of the car. There's a lot of pretty cars, but if they don't have an engine, they don't go anywhere. And or there's a lot of really ugly cars, but if they've got a great engine inside them, they can go hard and fast. Is it possible that the human nature is the same? There's a lot of really pretty people, but their driving engine, their internal ability to go forward is limited because they have such a low self-esteem. So even though they're really pretty or they've got a beautiful body, they still don't like themselves because their engine doesn't work, or they don't have an engine, don't have great self-esteem. The reverse of that, have you met people who aren't very attractive and who aren't in very good shape, but they're still going forward? And is that possible that their engine's on fire, which is their self-esteem? So here's a great personal question, and I'll just wrap it all up very, very tightly. Who are you? Pick five words to describe you as a person. What do you stand for? What would you die for? What are you passionate about? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to achieve? And when you know all of those things and you've made those decisions, why would you let somebody take them away from you? Number two, people will try. What are you going to do to make sure that they can't? Number three, what are you going to do to make sure that your self-esteem is so strong that if people try and pull you down, criticize you, gossip about you, you actually love it rather than hate it? I love it when people are nasty to me because it reveals who they are. I would never be rude or disrespectful or nasty to anybody consciously ever. So when somebody does that to me, I now know who they are and what they stand for, and I don't want to have that in my life. How about you? And guess what? We don't have to. We don't have to have nasty, negative people in our life. Why would we listen to the people that tell us that we can't do it? The people that love us and care about us and want us to be successful and love our life, they are not going to try and stop us, and they're certainly not going to tell us that we can't do it. And why would we allow some other human being, regardless of who they are, family, friends, partner, next door neighbor, brothers, sisters, coach, doesn't matter. If you know who you are and what you stand for and what you believe in and what you would die for, and you know what you're passionate about and you know what you're going to do with your life, why would you let anybody take that away from you? And is it possible that when you've got a strong self-esteem, nobody can? Isn't that awesome?